so long.
To allow AAB to present, here is the acting CEO in front of us. You can, Mr. Sigabi, you can then start and welcome to the committee, and you can present your APP.
Thank you very much.
Are you alone? They allowed you to come alone, but you will cope.
Unfortunately, my CFO is off sick.
Okay.
So she's unable to fly at the moment.
Oh.
That's why she didn't make it.
Okay.
So I will be also presenting the financial side of it. Just go through the presentation. I think you obviously read through our APP and our presentation, so I'm just going to highlight the key aspects of EAB. Just to start off with our vision, which is our vision is that of a transformed, professional, well-regulated real estate sector in a spatially integrated society. Just on the mission, just to say that the protection of consumers and the regulation of estate agents is really aligned to a mandate from the Enabling Act. That's what we exist for. However, the board feels that transformation should be also the key element of our mission. So you'll see that now in our APP, strategic plan, that we have a program for transformation, and we also have a key performance indicators for our transformation. I'm just going to jump over values. That's what we stand for, to obviously integrity, excellence, communication, transparency. Just the structure, just to highlight that our internal audit is outsourced. And that, again, if you see in the structure, we actually we're busy recruiting an executive manager with transformation. Although we have a warm body, but we feel that should be isolated in terms of focusing on transformation. To go into the programs and the sub-programs, first one is compliance program, where we now in our APP included the outcome KPI and also the outputs. So here we are, just the first one is just looking at measuring compliant registered estate agents, and we do that through our inspection program. Now we do self-assessment because we are restricted from doing inspections. And also the FIC inspection. So from there we can actually just monitor the level of compliance, and we're saying this is the targets for that, for those compliance based on the baseline. These are the outputs for the compliance section, which is what we've added now is the numbers, whereas we didn't have it in the APP. So instead of just having percentages, we can actually we've also focused on the numbers as well. So these are basically the KPIs that were in our previous, or are in the strategic plan. So we've been measuring these over the last 5 years. This as well. Now we can actually see that we are budgeting or are planning to have 66,119 estate agents to renew. And also highlighted there, we separated the self-assessment from the FIC inspections so that we can measure them separately. Education and training is the second program. Again, we're looking at the outcome where we're saying we're looking at the number of estate agents with professional qualification. So that is what we're going to measure against going forward. And then there's the outputs in terms of percentages of qualifying estate agents who enrolled, paid and wrote for the exam. And then we're looking at exemptions granted. Then we look at intern logbooks. This is a process that we started last year where we are expecting principal agents to ensure that intern estate agents have a logbook of all activities, because we found that sometimes interns end up just making coffee for the principal estate agent, so now we need evidence that they're actually doing estate agent's work. And then the number of estate agents integrated real estate dialogue, that's basically the road shows that we do. So we go to each province and really engage with the estate agents within those provinces and just highlight key features in respect of the estate agents environment. And then CPD 2.7 is, we've just finished the first cycle, which is continuous professional development. So we expect estate agents who have qualified to keep up with the standards and the changes within the environment. So we have CPD program which they must also comply with. The first cycle started in 2015 and it's now ended, it's a 3-year cycle, it's ended in 2017. And these obviously are the total number of estate agents that we expect to register and comply. Transformation, as I said, this is what we are focusing on going forward, and these are the numbers we are planning to have in terms of estate agents from previously disadvantaged backgrounds. So currently I think it's sitting at 17%, but our target is 30%. Just in terms of the output, 3.1, 3.2, 3.3 is what we're focusing on in this year going forward. It's these are new measures. We're saying the first one is looking at basically the One Learner, One Estate Agents program, where we're saying we plan to place as EAB 2,000 youth with host employers. That program should, it's been finalized with Services CETA, the funding has been established, and we're just busy signing the contract so that we can start around the 1st of June to recruit these learners, and we'll do it obviously provincially, and the measurement will be depending on population size. So we'll allocate those 2,000 over population depending. And then the second one is number of illegal trading estate agents rehabilitated through the EAB's amnesty campaign. With this one, this is focusing on illegal trading estate agents. We actually doing a research currently in terms of the extent of illegal trading estate agents, because we cannot determine how many and who. But we basically want to encourage those trading illegally to approach us so that we can assist them with compliance and support them with any other activities that require them to be compliant. So we are planning that this year is going to be 500 that we will rehabilitate. The third, 3.3, implementation of principalization program. We're finding that there's not enough principal, because a principal estate agent can own an estate agency. So what we are planning to do in terms of our education and training process, we're training to fast track. So instead of doing it over 2 years to become a principal estate agent, we're finding mechanism where you can do it in a shorter space, shorter time, like for example 1 year. So instead of doing your intern over 12 months, we can then allow you to do the internship over 6 months, for example. So that's what we're focusing on. So we are going to recruit about 250, I think we will, and we will be focusing on women for this activity. So that, yeah, we should have by the end of next year 250 women in this program. Therefore, we can have more principals, because we found that when we went to the Free State, we had one principal, black principal, one black principal in the whole of the Free State, so we couldn't believe it. So we need to really focus on that, because those are the principals are the one that actually would assist us with the youth programs as well. What we included is billboards, just for awareness, and also we want to, well, we're engaging in Facebook as part of the social media interaction that we want to have with the public. The Fidelity Fund, is there to protect property consumers. So if an estate agent has defrauded the property consumer, they've lost the money or lost the deposits in the transaction, they can come back to the Fidelity Fund to claim that money. So we maintain that on behalf of property property consumers, and its net asset value sitting well over 600 million, so it's quite a healthy, the fund is in a healthy state. These are the outputs, where we look at the claims as a KPI, and also the interest received from a state agency trust, because estate agents are supposed to put in 50% of the interest received on trust money. So that money actually comes to the Fidelity Fund. And then just looking at contribution to the MTSF, although we're expected to reach 2 million consumers, we have set it at 16 million, because we found that our radio awareness campaign, the community and national, can actually reach up to quite a huge number of consumers out there. Print media is something that we have to work on, because we're lagging behind in terms of the targets over the 5-year period. So we will focus this year on print media as opposed to the radio campaigns. 5.3 is just looking again at the one learner, one estate agent, but looking at more from a sector point of view, not from an EAD point of view, where this measure, this target is just the target, the last portion of the 10,000 that we plan to place within the sector. So we're now looking at, obviously we're engaging with the Pam Goldings and the big companies to just see how far they're actually recruiting PDI interns or new estate agents. Then we're looking at the percentage increase of state agents operating in subsidized and affordable housing areas. Obviously, we're looking there at maybe setting up hubs or context centers within the affordable housing areas where we can, where the consumers there can engage with the state agents in terms of property transactions. 5.5 is supposed to be transactional support, which talks to what I've highlighted in 5.4, but also we're a strategic partner with the department in terms of collating information such as sales, growth, and other statistical information that and help us to analyze the affordable housing space, and we supply that twice a year in terms of industry trends and analysis available. Just to go to the budget, this is the EAB budget. So the 2018 and 19 is highlighted in blue, and it's we are expecting to break even almost, or just make a surplus in this 18-19 financial year. What you should note though is that there's a capital expenditure there of 13 million, which is above the norm in terms of the other previous years and also the future years. And this is in respect of the IT system overhaul. We've been having problems with the IT system, with the SAP system, and it's affecting our service delivery. And therefore, the board felt that we should put money aside to actually do that system overhaul. So we will be looking at new systems, and the budgeted amount is about 10 million for this year, so that to spend on that IT system. The Fidelity Fund budget is also, we're budgeting a surplus, and just to highlight, under other income of the 110,846,752, that 45 million of that is actually the funding that we will receive from Services CETA for the One Learner, One Estate project. So they have committed to that funding. And obviously the Fidelity Fund will grow as forecasted. Okay, I think that's where I will stop.
Thank you very much. I think we're not even going to ask anybody to add because we are a lone ranger.
Thank you.
Questions and clarities? Honorable members? Honorable Khurai, Honorable Sonyane, Honorable Baha, Honorable Malazu, all right? Okay.
No, sir, thanks. Rachel Forche from EAAB. Personally, I'm not really convinced and happy if this issue of one learner, one agency until this time is not yet implemented. I'm sure we have been talking about this since we have started this committee in 2014. It's still there. Nothing happened, nothing until now. And I don't know what is the problem. Never at any stage you come to us and tell us your challenges, why this has not been implemented. Number one. Number two, why do you outsource the internal audit, the reason behind that, why you do that. And the last one, but this one of the slide number 13, transformation program. as we started with 2018, 2019, 2020, 2021, what happens before 2018, 2019? Wanted to know about the previous disabilities backgrounds. I don't have anything to say. Billboard chair. 5 billboards, 2 Gauteng, 2 KwaZulu-Natal, 1 Eastern Cape. They are not enough. What about other provinces? Really, they do not, according to me, they are not enough. Something must happen. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable Khorai, Honorable Khanya.
Thank you, Chairperson. My first question is, you said when you introduced yourself that you are acting. When are you becoming permanent? Because we really don't like actors. They seem to bring instabilities. And then I want you to explain to me properly on page 19. I can see there your, how many board members are you having if you guys are spending 3 million? And I'm on board members. I'm really interested in how many board members are you having and why are you spending so much on those board members. And then on page 17, the demographics, right? You gave an example of that when you went to Free State, you only found one black principal there. So as you guys now are on your way of targeting 250, I want to know, did you make a study of where you're going to concentrate? I'm sure you have more in Gauteng than you have in other areas. So the 250, how are you going to target to say maybe how many in KZN, how many in Free State, and what would have informed you on that one? And then on page 13, you speak about the transformation, which was 17%, and the target is 30%. 17% is very low. Even the target still at 30% is still very low. It's not going to really help us much. And then, lastly, on page 14 again, on your 250 target on principles, I'm very happy to hear that you say you'll be targeting women. But also, maybe you should also look at people living with disabilities on that one. And the youth also. Yeah, thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Zaka.
Thank you, Chair. See, you are here and you are my wife. Because it's limiting, I'm sure other members don't want to ask questions because it will be like a truckload of things falling on his head. Because I think this is one entity that I think we're never happy about their presentations at all. Because in terms of how far we've progressed as a country, it's still in the past, in a sense. Mm-hmm. And I think that as public representatives, we seem to be failing in our responsibility if we were to do a presentation about the situation in this particular entity. Chairperson, I think that one, in our last engagement with them, we said probably this one estate agent, one learner situation is not enough. There must be creative thinking of how we address some of the shortcomings that are there. And I think even today, emphasis is still on that one aspect. Two, I think we must get to a point with this entity, Chairperson, where we say when there's numbers given about transformation, that we must not just lump it up and say previously disadvantaged and this. I think we must just say black and give a number and say disabled and give a specific number. Because maybe lumping this up is also what makes us lose interest and focus in what they are presenting to us. Thirdly, the issue of IT system. I think it was raised as a challenge even last year. And clearly, looking at how far they've gone, not much has happened since that time. And I'm sure that's discouraging some members from engaging on these issues. But also on the weaknesses that were highlighted on the APP chairperson, there's one, insufficient reporting, monitoring and control structures. If I take that as a subheading, there would be work performance and staff retention, one. Performance culture not yet fully implemented. Performance management system still ineffectively applied. Lack of succession planning and all those things. So I don't know, Cheperson, you know, but who am I yet? I am only now. But I think that acting CEO, unfortunately, we'll have to raise these issues and we must find a way of how you give us or provide clarity. Now, let me stop there, Cheperson.
Thank you very much, honorable members. I think just to qualify, Mr. Sekabi, this issue of transformation. In your database, you say you've got 74,000 estate agents. It would be nice to actually have a breakdown of that 74,000 rather than just saying we know that we've got less than 17% they are blacks, but we would like to know because we know that the bulk of those are those that are still coming from the advantaged communities, but so that when we actually talk transformation, we talk to numbers that we see and we are able to quote them. So that 74,000 that you have in your database, at some point, please break it down for us. And Honorable Khura, I raised this thing, and I think I just want to add the issue of this one lender, one estate agent, because here you're talking about the 2,000 that you want to place with the host employers, but that's a different program, because at some point you were implementing two programs. We were implementing this program and then the one learner. But the one learner seems to have just disappeared into the radar. There's nothing that is being said about it anymore. Maybe clarify for us. Is it now being amalgamated into this other program? Because if I remember very well, the issue here was that the one learner, the remuneration was actually even less than these ones that are being put with the host employers, those that are like doing learnership. There were two programs running concurrently. And at some point, these ones were more comfortable than those that were the one learner, because the one learner was even getting 1,500. What's going on here? And yet these ones were getting... So I just want to have a sense that Is it one? Is it still the same program? If it's the one, what happened to the other one? Because we had a discussion, we've been having this discussion, that as part of transforming this sector, we need both these programs, but at some point they must be amalgamated. I see there you're talking about 500 illegal estate agents that you want to rehabilitate or per annum. Maybe just explain to us, when you talk illegal, real estate. What exactly are you talking about? We would understand that you're talking about those that don't meet the requirements of being real estate agents. But in your own interaction, the majority of those come from which sector? Are they coming from the previous sector advantaged, or are they coming from the current advantage? And besides saying rehabilitating them, what is it exactly that you're doing to assist them? So we just want to unpack that for us, because it talks to the transformation program. I do want to agree and probably with Honorable Hlonyane about the issue of the board. When you say 3 million plus being for one financial year for board members, maybe as well projections, how many meetings do you actually sit per annum that you would actually want to put aside 3 million for board members in one financial year? Thank you very much.
Okay.
You are on your own, so you can't be looking at anybody else. You just
Just to say that I believe in the parliamentary schedule, we are due to present on transformation on the 29th of May. So I think we'll give more and we'll have a bigger team to interact on that basis. Okay, so we are preparing for that. And I think the chair is also will be present to actually, then we can unpack what other initiatives we are currently looking at that meeting. Okay. I think just to start off with the One Learner, One Estate Agency program. The One Learner, One Estate Agency program was first initiated back in 2012. Where we had a bus barat with the sector and the industry, property industry, and they're the ones who said, look, if we take one learner, if one estate agency takes on one learner, and there were 11,000 then we'll are able to achieve 10,000 learners. So that's why I mentioned that 10,000 or 11,000. That's why, so what you have in the APP is two measures. One is just looking at the placement of youth, women and disabled people, which is relevant to EAB. This is what we are doing, the 2000. But there's also another measure which is looking at the placement of learners in the sector as a whole. So we do measure both of them, but we would like to split them because so that you can see the EAB one separate to the sector one. So they are actually in the APP. Okay, so to say that it was not implemented, it's always been there, that's how we monitor it. In terms of EAB, we started the One Learner, One Estate Agency in 2015. Then we had allocated funding for 798 learners, 300 have completed the training, and now actually working within the sector. So this is a phase two, the 2000. Okay, so which is due to start in June again. The question of why outsource internal audit? I think it's a matter of cost benefit, because it will cost us more to have an internal audit team internally than to outsource. We're not a big organization and we don't have complex processes, so therefore the decision to outsource was the one that was the option that was chosen. However, also the Audit and Risk Committee members actually prefer an independent auditor than someone internally, so they've expressed that to say we want someone who doesn't work inside the organization. It will give them more comfort in terms of reporting and providing assurance. Okay, so that's why we outsource. Yeah, in terms of the billboards, we are going according to the budget. Remember, we are a self-funded entity, so we don't get funding from elsewhere, so that's why we only started the billboards awareness last year. So what we want to do is to rotate, so next year we'll look at other provinces. So for this year we'll look at Gauteng, KZN, Eastern Cape, and next year we'll look at and putting up billboards in other provinces. So we will get to the other provinces. In terms of my acting position, when will it become permanent? I think it will be soon, because we, the former CEO now will be transferred to HDA fully, so the position will be vacant, and therefore we'll start advertising for a permanent CEO. How many board members, and in respect of meetings, we have 15 board members, and we have five committees and one board meeting, and the board meetings are held once every quarter, so are the committees, and sometimes we provide for two additional meetings for committees in case they want to further engage. So, and that 3 million is basically based on the requirements of travel and also training of board members, and also the meetings that are held. So it's properly costed. It's not. In terms of the 250 principalization, yes, I think I do note your input in terms of including disability as part of the principalization. But in terms of the split, we haven't really split in terms of all. We haven't targeted exactly how we're going to split it. So again, as I was saying, when we come and present the transformation, we'll actually give you more detail in terms of how the principalization is going to work. Yes, in terms of the number of, or the percentage of PDIs in the estate agent sector is low, 30%, but we should consider that at one stage it was 5%. But again, these are targets, and as we unpack our plans or transformation initiatives on the 29th, we'll actually discuss other initiatives besides the One Learner principalization and the amnesty that we plan to have. So I think that also addressed the emphasis on the One Learner, One Estate agents, because we have other initiatives that we have, but we just, because we are still finalizing those initiatives, we haven't put them in the APP for this year, most probably put them in next year. And we will break them down in terms of black and disabled. The IT system issue, it's not that we haven't been doing anything about it. We've actually installed servers, we've upgraded, we've done a lot of work on the IT system, but we're still finding that the IT system is just not compatible to our processes, and therefore that's why the board decided that rather let's do a bit of research on the business processes, so that we can set proper rules, IT rules. Let's also engage with the stakeholders. We're also part of DHS IT committee, and so from there we actually then want to make an informed decision of what system we will implement. And so that's why we now decided that we let's scrap the old system and start with a new system. And then in terms of staff culture and performance management systems, etc., or the weaknesses identified in the APP, to say that we've actually commissioned an HR expert to come in and to look at our organizational design and also look at all those processes and also assist us with the staff training and change of culture. Yeah, in terms of illegal estate agents, what are we talking about? So we're talking about those estate agents that have not registered with the EAB, in other words, they don't have a license, and therefore they are still trading. And there's two parts we can look at this. There are those who are doing it from a criminal perspective, in other words, they just don't care, they are aware of the registration and the compliance process, but they just feel it's better if they do it illegally. And obviously the other section is those who are not aware of the need for compliance. And that's basically where we're looking at black estate agents, and we're finding that there's a high number that's actually just not aware of EAB, and therefore have requested us to engage with them to make them understand of the compliance process. In fact, there's a group of 250 estate agents who have requested that the CEO to engage with the CEO so that we can look at this process of making them compliant. I think I've covered most of the issues.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm sure most of the issues we will have to discuss with them when they come back, because they are mainly transformation issues. Because Mr. Sigabi knows, he's been part of the people that came to present. When they came here to present in 2014-15 and then they came to present the straight plan, you know that the one learner, one estate agent broker, you were targeting 10,000 youth. 10,000. That was what was in the straight plan. And to date, you've only got transit that have. That's why you were asking this as the program collapsed. But that's the discussion that we will have with you guys when you come back. At least you won't be alone.
Yeah.
And at least they can respond on your behalf. Because it's not fair now that we want to make you as if now you are responsible for all these things. They must come with you, but they can take some of the questions. But the target, and remember, this is the last financial year in this year. That's why the question arises, because the target was 10,000.
Mm.
Yes. Department.
Chair, just to indicate, I mean, and it's a pity that Nikita is here all alone, but perhaps maybe at an appropriate time, I think the issue that we're grappling with the EAAB, and I'm not sure if it includes the management, Nikita, but you can sort of confirm. But the issue around this is that the EAAB board, the current board, is of the view that, you know, anything related to transformation is not within their mandate to fund. And as a department, we've indicated that we don't share that view. Because the point about it is that transformation in this country is not something that we can expect government only to fund. It's not the responsibility of only government to fund. It's a collective responsibility. So even those industries which generate money from government has a responsibility. So for example, the issue around the title deeds, the issue around the question of transformation. Because you see, this is not self-regulation. We must be very, very careful. This is, you know, the favors in relation to self-regulation is something that I think I sincerely think that as government, we've got a view on that. You can't have self-regulation in the context of an untransformed process of developmental social transformation. But I think Nikita is aware of it, and I think as the management, we've been very clear as the department, this is it. Don't expect us to pay, because you've got money, you must utilize it, and you must prioritize it. But you can't say because the department doesn't give us a grant, we require a grant to transform. That's an issue that we will discuss in relation to the bill. And obviously, I think it's going to be a robust, but I think we're all sort of ready for that.
Thank you very much, Mr. Sekabi. You've been saved by the bell. I think that was very strategic for EAB to send you alone, so that you can just say there's a meeting on the 29th. We are discussing this issue. But thank you very much for coming and presenting the APP. We will interact and interrogate the issues of transformation and other issues when you come back on the 29th.
Okay.
When you will be accompanying other people,
yeah,
at least you know, yeah, a lot of them will be here.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Okay, I think we should break for lunch. I don't know if lunch is here. We then are left with one entity, which then we will deal with it when we come back. I'm just trying to think if we really need a full hour for lunch. Do we?
No.
Do we
no.
need a full hour?
No.
Can we come back at 1:30?
Yeah.
Okay. Half past one. Yeah. But there will be finger lunch outside at 1:00. Thank you so much.
Yeah,